Kendrick Bourne said yesterday, sort of alluded to players staying out too late. Was there an issue in London with players staying out too late?
No, there wasn't an issue. I think it was taken out of context. I had a conversation with Bourne, and, you know, it was taken out of context. Those guys did a good job traveling, and they did a good job, you know, adjusting to the time difference.
What specifically was taken out of context in your view?
I'm not going to get into that. You know, like I said at the beginning, our main focus is really just about the Jets.
High noon, a little after, on Jones and Keith. As Jerod Mayo earlier today, they did a good job traveling. They did a good job adjusting to the time zone.
Yeah, they sat in their seats on the plane, and they waited until we were at our...
what are they, six?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
A good job traveling. That's what I say about my six-year-old.
Yeah.
I'm like, boy, you did a good job traveling.
You did a really nice job.
You get a cookie.
You only went to the potty twice.
You adjusted to the time change. Wow, yep. That's really hard for you. Congratulations. This is like how I talked to Lucas.
Well, yeah, but if you called Lucas soft one day, you'd have to overcorrect and be like, you did a really nice job traveling today.
That's a good point. I would have to overcorrect.
You made it through the whole day without a doo-doo in your pants.
So he said,
take his kid away from him.
That's a good point. That's a good point. He's Gen Zers.
Kid's 12. What? He should be fine.
What generation are our kids? They're not even
our
Gen
kids?
Z. Yeah, what are they?
I don't know if they've defined it yet. I think we'll leave that up to them.
What
they
are
can
they?
Name it.
Yeah.
No, name, Young Guns.
Name your own generation.
Young Guns.
We're not going to name the generation, but go ahead and name your generation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out.
You'll be
sure.
In charge of it. Whatever you want. So, by the way, so he said it was taken out of context. I think that was Callahan, if I'm not mistaken. That sounded like Andrew Callahan to me. Asked him, oh, okay, good. So what was taken out of context? He's like, we're just focused on the Jets.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So here's the context from Kendrick Bourne. Ready?
Yes.
Mark Daniels did a great job tweeting this out. He said the context, colon, I'm not trying to point anybody out, but it's just we have to focus on what matters. You can go out, but what really matters while we're here. Oh, while we're here. So in London, you can go out, he said.
Yeah.
But what really, really matters is while we're here. That's making personal decisions rather than staying up all night or eating whatever. So if I'm trying to become wealthy, this is born again, earlier this week.
Yeah, do a 25-leg parlay like Wiggy. You'll be the wealthiest guy on your street.
If I want to become wealthy, I have to invest my money in the right places. I can't be trying to go out and club because it's taking away from my internal goal, winning football games. That was the... Mayo says he was taken out of context. Yeah, I think I talked to Kendrick. He was taken out of context.
What?
That kind of took on a life of its own.
Was he out of context? That seems
pretty
clear
sound like it to
me.
So one more time. He said... Guys are staying out. Got to focus on what matters. Make personal decisions. Up all night eating whatever. If I want to become wealthy, don't go out and club. And then Jerod Mayo is taken out of context. Get out of my face.
I know I'm hung up on the eating thing and I need to move on, but that's so different. Like curfew, you're like, all right, if a guy is supposed to be in his hotel room at 10, 11 o'clock and he's getting home at 3, like you could see like the sleep, that's not good for you. It's also just disobeying like one of the few rules that you probably have while you're out there. The eating thing, I don't know if I've ever heard anything like that.
Okay,
like,
but
what do you got going there? Steak and cheese?
But eating is, that was code though. He wasn't going to be like, guys are out, he did say clubbing,
yeah,
but guys aren't going to be out partying. He's not going to say that. Guys are drunk.
Eating,
he's not
going to
say that. Yeah, that was.
Oh, so instead of saying drinking, whatever.
I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah.
They were out all night. You know, eating whatever,
cotton candy.
Yeah, like
they have.
I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever it was, it seems like it was.
So
he was very specific without saying a player's name.
Yep.
Kendrick Bourne did the same thing with us a couple weeks ago when we were talking to him.
Yeah.
Like he was talking about like the overall group and the overall team. I'm sure he had specific names of players in mind, but he wasn't going to do that. So he stopped short of doing that, but you can't say he's taking that out
of context. But connect the dots. Yeah. Connect the dots. And so I give Nick all the credit in the world for this. Nick started this on Monday. Bourne's like calling players out, and Nick's like, oh, yeah, by the way, they had two guys who were sick. One guy was puking and crapping all over the place. The other guy couldn't even play. I'm talking about Poop Douglas.
Both ends.
Yeah. Popto Bismol. We've had some good names for him, I must say.
We have.
And so,
No, like, obviously there was some kind of an issue. They don't want to talk about it.
Well, no, not
it.
Obviously. It's taken out of context,
oh, yeah,
Keith.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, obviously
what's us. What was taken out of context? Oh, we're just focused on the Jets. Garbage. That's garbage. They're trying to change that narrative.
Well,
we all know what happened.
Too?
Guys were out after curfew partying. They weren't ready for the game because they don't care.
Well, it's also
they don't care because the year's over.
No, the year's for sure over, but then they lose to the Jets. They're like, man, you guys were so focused all week. What the hell happened? Anytime we ask you anything, you're focused on the Jets. You focus on the Jets. Focus on the Jets.
Good
lose
point.
By 20.
Good point. What happens if you weren't focused
Maybe
on the Jets?
Maybe you should have been a little bit less focused on them.
Good
Try
point.
That.
Can I hear the KJ Osborne exchange? This is good too. So KJ Osborne effectively demanded a trade this week.
Yes.
Or asked for. Maybe demanded.
No. He answered a question.
Yeah.
Do you want to be traded?
He wants to be traded.
This is a reenactment.
Yeah.
I'll be KJ Osborne.
Hey, KJ, what's up, man? Great job saving Nelson's life.
Thank you.
Do you want to be traded by any chance?
That's an alley-oop. Pretty spot on. I wasn't there, but yeah. I'm guessing that's what it sounded like.
That was a good reenactment. That was like a lifetime level reenactment. That was good.
Not bad.
That was good. Uh-huh. You didn't even have to method act or get into character or anything.
No.
That was just off the cuff.
Ask me again.
Hey, KJ, you want to be traded?
That's an alley-oop.
Alley-oop.
That's an alley-oop dunk.
That's an alley-oop.
Alley-oop dunk.
Boom shakalaka. So KJ Osborne, he also posted on social media after the London game, like his friend texted him, he's like, you're such a pro. You didn't even know you were going to play in the game. You were going to be a healthy scratch. You didn't find out. You're such a pro.
Yep.
What did Mayo say about all that?
KJ had said that everything in that social media post was accurate, and assuming that's true, why did he find out at 11 on Saturday night that he was going to be active after he was told he was going to be inactive?
Yeah, you guys talked to KJ. You know, once again, for me, you know, it's about looking forward, and we're looking forward to the Jets and trying to go out there and get a win.
KJ Osborne, you sort of alluded to this week that he wouldn't mind being traded. Have you talked with him about that? Has he put in a request or asked to be traded?
No, I've had conversations with all the players, about a lot of different things. What I will say, he's on the team now, and we look forward to him playing on Sunday.
Okay, so that one's actually encouraging.
Yeah.
What
I will say with Gerard Mayo every week, instead of Mayo Mondays, what I will say this with Gerard Mayo.
Look and what I will say. Those are some of his crutches. We all have them.
Yeah.
That to me sounds like Osborne's on the team for now, but he ain't going to be here long. That's what that sounds like.
I don't know if we've even talked enough about what KJ Osborne posted, because we've talked about, like, joking about how, like,
yeah, yeah,
if any friend of yours thinks you're doing a good job, then you're like, see?
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Yeah,
I'm not going to be here.
But it's also the specifics of it, too.
Yeah.
He's like, from being told you would be inactive Wednesday and only taking 3 reps all week in practice.
Yeah.
So that's very specific.
Yeah, like, 3 reps. Like, you know, so you know how that goes. KJ's like, you know, and this is fine. He's just venting to his friends. But you know, he's like, I got three
reps.
Effing reps out there.
And he's like,
and these scrubs are playing ahead. Like, you know, that's how it's going.
And then you're told you're activated at 11 p.m. on Saturday night. So Saturday night, they're telling you whether you're active or not at 11 o'clock.
Local time or?
Good question.
Eastern?
And you're going to play another position.
Ooh.
Because they're all so different.
Yeah, left tackle.
What are you playing? He's Travis Hunter. He's playing two ways.
You work on your snaps.
Yeah.
You're at center today.
Yeah. You got to learn the Z this week?
And then he says, across the world is London. Is what he says.
It's like, literally,
how are you ever going to do that? It's like, well, he's already there. Yeah.
It's like
traveled with the, he didn't fly the plane.
It's flying to California.
No. Yeah, it is.
That's basically what it, right? How long is the flight to London? 5 hours, 6 hours? I've flown to Europe.
I mean, if you swam to London, I would have been impressed.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been like, dude, that's a lot on the body. You swam all the way to London.
Is it 5 or 6 hours?
Again, it's a 5 hour flight or 6 hour flight.
Again,
right?
I've been to Europe. You've been to Europe.
Yeah.
Brag.
Brag, brag city.
Okay, but like, so that
is. Not a big deal.
It's like flying to California. You flew across the country.
None of my friends texted me when I landed, and they're like, you're across the world
right
now.
How'd you do it?
How
man?
Do maps work?
Across the pond.
You held your composure.
Yeah.
And did what a pro does.
Yeah, what a pro.
And then he's
is.
Like, I'm going to take that compliment and I'm going to post it. You want to see composure? Yeah. Here's me retweeting it or putting it on my IG story.
And then you want to hear
made your daddy proud.
You're going to be so proud.
Proud.
Proud. Proud.
How many LeBarons are there, Freddie? I only see one LeBaron.
So let's to see what a pro he is again, Keith. Let's reenact this one more time.
Yeah, because
he's a pro. This is an example of being a pro.
Yeah.
KJ, you want to be traded?
That's an alley-oop.
What a pro.
What a pro.
Can we
so
get
much composure on that guy? It makes your head spin.
Nick, not to put you on the spot, but Alex Van Pelt 3 from yesterday. Can we cue that one up one more time? I know we played it recently, but let's just get that one more time. Again, who is the professional Alex? We're going to talk to Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, who's the most professional?
Who is like the guy in the wide receiver room? Who is that again?
So, final question, guys. Leadership among the receivers. Do you see someone like is the one they can look to say, whether it's Troy Brown?
Yeah, the guy that comes to mind is KJ. I think he just does it right every time. He's in the right spot. He's aligned correctly. He runs the right the depths on the routes. You know, he's a guy that works hard. He can play multiple positions. I would say it would be KJ.
Classic.
Posting about what a pro he is for, you know, playing. He was asked to play and he played, and he's like bragging about it.
He only got three.
That's a pro's pro. Three reps.
He only got three reps, and he had to learn a whole different position.
Can you imagine?
He's a wide receiver. He had to learn another.
You have to know the other routes.
Wide receiver position.
Wow.
He's a wide receiver playing wide receiver.
It's insane what he's
three
able
reps
to
across
do.
The world.
No one's talking enough about it.
Across the world, Keith.
The across the world in London.
Yeah. You know, he took a flight over.
Man.
Took a flight to Indonesia and then an island hop on like ferries and things
what
like this.
Day
London's
is it?
Antipode is Australia. So, unless this dude's Australian,
what
he's
word
not across
did he,
the world.
What word did you say?
Antipode. It's like the opposite place. Like you go through the earth and that's where you land.
Antipode?
What are you doing in radio?
Yeah, get out of here.
Anyone?
That's one of those words. That's one of those words I heard one time. And
Billy,
I was like,
did you know that word? Antipode?
Antipode.
Oh my God! I was unaware of that
idea.
Word. Wow, Nick.
No
see,
idea.
Now you guys can remember it because this is how I learned.
Well,
it.
Someone tried in school.
Yeah, seriously, Nick is how is Nick sneaky real smart? Where did
God,
that come
no.
from?
Maybe
antipode.
We didn't realize
he does
we
have glasses.
That's true. He's got that's a good point.
Smart.
We underestimated his glasses all along. Keep us right in front of us. Sitting there with glasses on,
hiding in plain sight. There he was.
How do we not know that?
The genius amongst us.
Damn it. I didn't know he was so smart. And how did I not know? He was giving us all the signs. All the warning signs were right there.
He's going to clip that and post it on his Instagram. Those guys called me a genius. Yeah, what do I know? Yeah. Look at that.
Antipode.
Yeah, no, I think everything's going to be fine, though, this weekend for the Patriots. They seem to have everything kind of on the upswing.
They got it going on. Fred's in the car. Hello, Fred.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good, Fred.
Keith.
Yeah.
Keith, I got to know. I got to know what movie was playing in the background. You and I were tweeting back and forth
a little bit
yesterday about it.
Wow. This was insane.
What was it?
So
come on.
Yeah,
reset
the story real quick if you could.
So so every day this month, I've put a horror movie on the TV behind Jones. We have two TVs in studio, and I put one on. They're obviously on mute and whatever. And so yesterday, we had a check presentation, right, for the Doubles for Diabetes.
American Diabetes Association.
An incredible thing that they do between them and the Red Sox. $15,000. So they're presenting us with a check. We're asking questions about these events. So we're doing like a real serious interview. I look up.
Yep.
Initially, there is I would call it a very passionate love scene happening.
Bam! Throws his phone on the ground.
So, like, way more than it should be for, like, Sci-Fi Network. There's no way I thought they were going to get away with that. So I glance up and see that. I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. 5 seconds later, somebody popped up from under the bed with a chainsaw and went right down the line on both of them. The entire screen was red, blood dripping everywhere. And I'd never seen the movie. I believe it was Studio 666, the Foo Fighters, like, horror movie. Like, the Foo Fighters are trying to make another album.
I know what.
Do you know what that movie is?
Yeah, I know what that is. I don't know the scene. I know what the movie is. So.
It's intense.
Yeah.
It was way more intense than I thought
they
could get
away
with. Yep. That was awesome. Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, Fred knows the film. He claims to not know the scene.
Yeah, you would know the scene. I can't not see the scene. And so I'm like glancing around because everybody else in the room.
We have salespeople in here.
Yes.
We have the people from the American Diabetes Association. They're presenting a $15,000 check.
And I'm like eyeballing him, and I'm looking back, and you're the only one who couldn't see.
I had no idea what was going on behind me.
So then, when the interview,
this guy's hammering away, and then getting,
he was like sawed in half, and he's drilling for oil, and I was like, get off her, get off of her. And so we're watching.
First of all, there's someone out of the bed. Get him, leave her alone.
Guy had a working chainsaw under the bed. On right through both of them.
Yeah,
so
you
I'm
thought
watching.
You were getting one power tool.
So I'm like glancing around. I'm like, they're not looking up. But I'm like, they can't not see it. Like, it's a decent sized TV. What is that? I mean, it's not a big screen TV. Is that 40?
I don't want to shame. 42.
48?
48. Maybe 48. 42. Okay.
I can tell you during the break. But so and then when the interview's over, we're like, hey, thanks for coming in. Take a little picture. You can see it on Jones and Keefe. And then I hit the talk back button right here, because for those who don't know, Nick and Billy are in another room, but there's a glass. They can see right into where we are.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, did you guys happen to see what was on TV? They're like, we sure did. We absolutely saw what was on there. I was like, oh, my God. Because all month long, we've had movies on, and nothing has ever gotten to that degree
of, this is not safe for work. You claim that, we were getting ready before the show today,
and we're all
just talking about whatever's going on, and there's another movie.
Yeah, that guy
and
was.
And there's two people.
Looked like he was crucified.
two people
yeah.
Participating in intercourse.
Yeah. Oh, that's
in a tent. In a tent, they're camping? That's intercourse?
Friday the 13th.
Next thing I know, was that what we were watching?
That was a Friday the 13th. I think it was Jason Goes to Hell.
Okay, yeah. And then somebody comes along and kills them in their tent.
Yeah, they're,
Spoiler alert.
Well, Jason.
It was Jason.
Yeah, he does most of the killing in these movies. Everybody else usually leaves each other alone. So, he's the one.
Well,
that
one's the spirit of Jason.
Let's not get bogged down in the details.
I don't watch enough horror movies, but how often are people getting killed mid-coitus?
Quite a bit.
A lot?
Actually, yeah, the 80s, it was a staple. It was pretty much the whole genre.
Halloween 2, it was in a hot tub.
Dude, Halloween 2. Ba-ba-boom.
Was it?
Yeah, the one lady in particular. But that movie was wild. She got killed in the hot tub. He held her under.
Oh, boy.
And he turned the heat up.
Oh, boy.
Did never look the same. Her face looked like a melted candle when it was all said and done. Not good. But yeah, that was wild. So next time we will put on a different channel when people come in here.
Yeah, Disney or something very wholesome.
It's like, oh my
PBS God. PBS instead.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what happened. That happened a couple of weeks ago where he was trying to change something and he couldn't get it hit anything more than the two button.
Well, we watched Don Quixote for like an hour and a half.
We did.
Like an hour and a half of Don Quixote.
That is
little
true.
Little Alma's Way was in there.
Alma's Way.
We could have, Nick should pick something highbrow for us since he's so smart and so intelligent.
Bloomberg, exactly.
What are you watching?
Keep up with his stocks.
NPR in there.
Yeah, Masterpiece Theater or something like that. He's watching over here. All of his big words. 617-779-7937.
Couldn't tell you, he's still losing it though.
More.
Oh, he's brutal at the syllable game.
Yeah,
like you know, you clap to like do the syllables. He's brutal at it.
Really?
Can't do it.
Mm. I always had an extra one.
But
I don't know why.
Same. We'll get back into the wide receiver room. How much of an issue is it for Drake May and his development? These bozos in the receiver room. We'll get to it.
So you have some young players in that receiver room. Do you feel as though everybody in that group is doing everything they can away from the field during the week just in terms of taking care of themselves, doing what they need to do to be the best professionals?
Yeah, we had a really great team meeting this morning where that was pointed out. Obviously, at 1-6, it's not good enough across the board, any of us. So we need to be better. We need to work harder. We need to, rehab harder. We got to refresh better. We got to take care of ourselves. We got to spend more time in the room. So good meeting this morning, demanding more of everybody across the board, and those guys are included.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. That was Alex Van Pelt yesterday discussing the wide receiver room.
Man,
what a room.
And next week there'll be something else. That's sort of lock you can have for this team is that one of those six guys will either say something or post something following the game, and then that'll be another story and that'll continue throughout the season.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And I feel like you were early on this, Keith. A couple of weeks ago, you're like, what is going on with the irrational confidence in the room?
It's insane. And I like only a wide receiver.
It's only gotten worse.
I like a wide receiver.
No, you like a good wide receiver.
That's the difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is a difference there. Yeah. It's important.
You like a guy who can play.
Well, once
if
a
you
guy's,
can play, go ahead and mouth off.
Yes, that's what I say. Yeah. Once a guy's really good and he's not getting the ball enough, hey, here's an idea. Get him the ball. Maybe things will turn around.
Mm-hmm.
But with this group, it's like you should be confident in yourself. Like you can't be a pro athlete if you're not. But then to be popping off about how many targets you're getting or playing time you're getting and this, that, and the other thing, it's like, man, none of these guys have proven anything yet.
No.
The only one I kind of like right now is Pop Douglas. Like, he, in Drake May's first game, was making some catches that you're like, all right, there's something here.
I don't hate Douglas or Kayshon Boutte right now, and they both are guilty of the same thing, just asking for the ball more.
Yeah.
Pop Douglas did it earlier in the year a couple of times. Pop on the tape, Douglas.
Pop on the tape.
Before he was Pop Abysmal, he was Pop on the tape, Douglas. And so he and Boutte are both asking for more targets, which is like, who are you guys? Why do you think you're so good? Why are you demanding targets? Fair, but like, that's not anywhere near as egregious as KJ Osborne wanting to be traded.
Yeah.
Or Tyquan Thornton thinking he's Michael Jordan.
You're not Michael Jordan.
Or Jalen Reagor is a Bugatti in a trailer park.
Yeah, he's gone now.
Jalen Polk thinks
he found a spot, though.
Jalen Polk, yeah, he fumbled through the end zone last week. Jalen Polk thinks he has the best hands in the league.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Javon Baker thinks he's a top 10 receiver in the league. Like, those two are at least just asking for the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's not that crazy. They have an inflated sense of self, but that's not crazy. That's not the most egregious thing.
And you would have thought over the last 2 weeks it would have settled down a little bit because you went from a guy that was going to get you 100 yards passing to a guy that's going to get you over 200. Like, you're doubling the opportunities, basically, with the new quarterback.
You're doubling the pie. There's more to go around, and they're still complaining.
And they're even slinging the ball a little bit, and you're like, well, okay, we're still mad about it. So I was like, yeah, I don't really see where that's going to improve. We're going to get Tyquan Thornton apparently in the lineup this week. I don't know how much he plays.
That's exciting.
Jalen Polk, though, had a concussion. I guess he suffered last week. Still played. And so he's out. And not that you don't want him out for an injury, but I think it is, let's sit him down. Let's give some other guys a chance, and let's sort of reassess after that.
617-779-7937. It's a Patriots Friday. Patriots should be stepping off the practice field at any moment, so I would expect to hear from Mike Nwenu at some point. We're going to hear from Alex Van Pelt at some point, so stay tuned for that. On a Patriots Friday, we got Keith's Keys.
Oh, yeah, Keith's the game.
I would say 1 o'clock sharp, but again,
TBD.
You know, TBD.
Fluid.
Based on when we get our guests, but we're going to schedule it somewhere around 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for it. Who should play out of the wide receiver group this weekend, Keith?
All right, so...
Who should play?
Okay, should.
Yeah.
It should be...
Thornton's going to play. KJ Osborne's going to play. Who should play?
It should be Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty getting the majority of the reps, and then it should be Kendrick Bourne as the third. And if you have to go to a fourth receiver, I want it to be Javon Baker.
Same.
That's what we said last week. And it wasn't.
Well, last week... Oh, no, yeah, you're right. Last week, we both wanted Polk out.
Because Polk was healthy last week, but we said no. So this week, you're taking that decision out of their hands. But Mayo already confirmed today at the press conference that Thornton is in. So if Polk's out, Thornton's in, and he said Osborne's in, the other guys aren't sitting. So I would... Deductive reasoning would be Baker's not going to get a chance.
No, Baker's odd man out. They don't trust him.
But that's who it should be.
Phil wrote about this week at NBC Sports Boston. Phil Perry, it's like maturity stuff off the field, and that doesn't even mean like what happened at Logan or calling himself a top 10 receiver. It's like the being a professional, like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't think he's going to get in the lineup based on all the warning signs. Now, I'm with you. I want to see what he has. I want to see if you have anything
in
him.
I also don't know how great he is.
No, but
the preseason, remember,
he had
some bad
passes.
Oh, yeah,
the team sucks, so let's find out. Like, what's the harm in finding out?
No, there's no harm.
Like, I don't... Why do you got to give more reps to KJ Osborne? What do you think? You're going to pump and dump KJ Osborne?
You're not.
KJ Osborne plays a lot this week?
Yeah. I don't know how much pumping there's going to be.
Cut him.
Just cut him.
And maybe they don't have the autonomy to do that. Maybe Mayo wants to. Maybe Elliott Wolf wants to. And Robert Kraft is like, we're not eating that contract. Figure out a landing spot for him. That's possible.
Something to keep an eye on. Last segment, we were talking about Alex Van Pelt really talking up KJ Osborne as
a
big guy to follow.
Yeah, the guy.
So if they cut him, does that not speak to like what a drastic difference there is? Now, they haven't cut him, and maybe they don't cut him. But if... Elliott Wolf decides to get rid of him, or if Jerod Mayo sort of tells Elliott Wolf, like, hey, this might be the best call. Well, your offensive coordinator says he's the guy they should all follow. Like, he's actually the one, like, model citizen. Like, what a...
Maybe it's a way to undercut your offensive coordinator.
It might be.
He talks him up, and then it's like, this guy didn't know what he's talking about. This guy didn't even deserve a job.
Something to make note of. Something to look back on.
I want to focus in on the receivers for a moment, Keith, because I do think, at least to me, is the Verizon matchup of the week, Patriots and Jets. I do think Drake May against that Jets secondary, which obviously involves those wide receivers, I think it's the matchup of the week. Drake May is getting his second difficult test in 3 weeks. He got Houston 2 weeks ago. But Houston was more about their pass rush and not their secondary.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets have a very, very good secondary. Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed. That's going to be difficult with these bum-ass receivers. Mm-hmm. And so it's another test for Drake May. Last week was a test in that you didn't want him to turn it over against a bad defense. You wanted him to take advantage of a bad defense. And he didn't. I wanted more points, but the individual numbers were there. Completion percentage, yardage, touchdowns. He didn't turn it over, etc. So it's a test in that I want to see if he can exploit these corners. These are high-level corners. Can you make plays in the passing game? We saw how bad it was back in week three. That, to me, is the matchup I'm focused on.
Yeah, I agree. Like, let's see what these guys could do. It's another week for Drake May as well. Is he going to get any kind of rapport with any of these guys? Like, is it going to emerge? It feels like Hunter Henry and Pop Douglas are one thing. Booty had the great touchdown in Drake May's first start, but then last week only had the one catch. And I know it was a down the field play, but is there going to be a little bit more to that? You know, is he going to be a guy that you could target several times throughout the game and come up with a bunch of catches? But yeah, this is something that, you know, the first time they played the Jets, we were screaming to run the ball because Ramondre was coming off back-to-back really good games. You still had Jacoby Brissett as the quarterback. You felt like that run defense wasn't very good, so they should run. Now I feel a little bit different because it's Drake May. And all right, let's see what these receivers kind of put their money where their mouth is, and maybe they surprise us. Maybe some of them play pretty well, and then you can have more of a hierarchy and guys you can stick with going forward. Or it kind of goes the other way, and maybe they prove that they're all full of it.
The Verizon matchup brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Patriots. I would say stopping the run, but I don't think they have a prayer of that one. I don't think they have a prayer of stopping the run against Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, the Jets.
Nope.
They've been run wild on the last few weeks.
And the last five. I mean, the first two weeks.
Specifically the last three, but you're right. Really the last five. After the Seattle game, it's been brutal. Yes.
The first 2 weeks of the season is what Jerod Mayo, the reason why he called them soft, he followed it up after the game was, you know, it's kind of smash mouth football, but he was like, run the ball, stop the run, special teams. Week one and week two.
Check, check, check.
They had that. Mm-hmm. You know, we could quibble with, like, hey, why don't they play the rookie quarterback?
They missed a kick against Seattle, but largely check, check,
yeah,
check.
Yeah, missed the kick, but like, but like special teams tackles, like, yep, not getting burned on, yeah, it, like that kind of thing. It was like pretty buttoned up, and they could run the ball, and they could stop the run. They held their opponent to under 100 yards rushing in those games. Since then, like playing this Jets team on Thursday flipped everything. Now they can't stop the run when they need to. They don't run it for crap. And then the special teams has been kind of hot and cold. They've had some decent games. They've had other games where they're giving up 94-yard punt returns. So whatever it was, after two games, it was like the identity of this team completely changed, which is another like crazy part to the season. Like, they're 1-6. That alone is not the most shocking thing. But when they were 1-1 and it was an overtime loss, you're like, Bill Belichick wasn't, you know, peacocking around talking about the run defense.
Nope.
Because the stats wouldn't have been in his favor. He wouldn't have been talking about that stuff. Lombardi and Patricia weren't talking about the Patriots after 2 weeks.
No, they were talking about every other game.
But every week after, you can't. There's more and more evidence that like things have fallen apart and they're not a tough team. Like Mayo, both things can be true. Mayo said they're soft, and they probably are, but you also can't say it. So it's like everybody ripping Mayo for saying it, with the exception of Bill. Bill went way too far, being like, they're not soft. Like, these are tough players.
I hurt for them.
Like, insane. Like, dude, you're laying it on a little thick
for them.
Yeah, you want to have that one? Is that what you want to go with?
Yeah.
But, like, other guys, and I didn't hear everything they said, but, like, the Max Crosbys and the Richard Shermans and Andrew Whitworths, they were just saying, you can't say that. I don't think any of them were like, the Patriots are tough as nails.
Yeah,
like, no, they're like, yeah, they play like crap
now. Don't say that. Don't say the quiet part out loud.
So a lot of times when Mayo has walked things back, I do think the first thing that he had said got more truth to it than the follow-up, but he's now trying to desperately save his locker room.
So that's the backdrop for the game this week. Mayo called them out last week. They didn't respond. He hits the podium and says, they're soft. Then he has to walk that back and say, oh, we're playing soft.
Playing, but a huge difference.
And then Bill said, they're actually not soft. I hurt for them. And then you have players popping off
toughest
all week.
Toughest team in the league. They got Marcus Jones, Christian Gonzalez.
Players are popping off all week long. So do they respond? Do you get any response? Can he fix the run? Do they play better? Do they answer being called out by their coach? In other words, can they cover? Can they at least keep it close with the Jets, who they were non-competitive with back in week three? And if not, Keefe, if they can't, keep it close and keep it competitive. Does anything happen? And my fear is it doesn't. They're not going to fire Mayo on the spot.
Nope. I don't think
they're going to take away the defense from DeMarcus Covington. I don't think they're going to, like, demote Alex Van Pelt. I don't think they're going to trade a bunch of players or cut a bunch of players. Like, I'm worried they're going to be non-competitive again. The team's not going to respond. And they're just going to shrug their shoulders and go, yep, this is kind of what we are. This is kind of what we're dealing with. And this is the reality in 2024, and that to me would not be acceptable.
So they got blown out by the Texans in week six, and they were like, all right, that's five straight losses. We're going to make a change. Raekwon McMillan.
That's it.
Didn't start.
That's it.
That was it.
And you were like, ooh.
Raekwon, the chef? Yeah, he's not playing? So that was the only thing they did. So after losing to the Jaguars, like, all right, what more is there going to do? So now you're like, all right, now the Jets. But like seven consecutive losses. I don't think it'll be anything major, but I think with the trade deadline coming up, you have to think of shaking up the roster a little bit. Again, it's 53 guys, so it's different than other sports. Like, you make a basketball trade, you can really change things.
Yeah.
Football, you can't really change things too much, but send another message there. And then the only other thing I can think of is Jerod Mayo has to take full ownership of the defense.
Right, but again, I'm not sure they're going to do those things. They could.
I'm also not sure that's like a great answer.
No.
Because it wasn't, by all accounts, Steve Belichick was the one calling plays anyway before.
Yep.
So Mayo's never called defensive plays. So it's not like you have a head coach, this happens on offense all the time. You have an offensive play caller who becomes the head coach, and he says, you know what? I'm going to give my coordinator that responsibility until he screws it up, and then I'm going to take it over.
Yeah.
This isn't one of those scenarios where Mayo could do that, and you'd be like, oh, good, he's coming in to save it.
So, to me, how many more bullets do you have? It's like, you called him soft. You already made a change to your lineup last week. I'm worried they're just kind of resigned to we suck, and this is what we are, and they're not going to do anything about it. And that may be the scariest part of all of it. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. It's Patriots Friday. We're going to talk to Alex Van Pelt. We're going to talk to Mike Nwenu. We have Keefe's Keys on the way in the 1 o'clock hour. Stay tuned.
You know, defensively, the Patriots led the league last year in rushing defense, yards per carry, number one in the league. And this year, they're way down in the 20s somewhere. It's the same guys. They re-signed Jennings. They re-signed Tavai. They re-signed, obviously, Duggar, right? Marcus Jones and Gonzalez have been healthy all year, which they were both on IR at this point last year. So you got Wise, you got Godshaw, you got, Keon White, you got Mapu, you have Gonzalez, three rookies from last year. So it's a lot of the same players. And in some cases, I would say more. I'm kind of hurt for those guys because they call them soft. They're not soft, but they were the best team in the league last year against the run. And those guys went out there and did it, even though we couldn't score many points offensively. So, I feel bad for the defensive players on that one because those guys, that's a tough group. I mean, John Jones, Godshaw, Wise, Jennings, those are all, Uche, those guys are all tough players. Like, they'll strap it up and go. Yeah. Duggar, I mean, they're tough guys.
It's an oldie but a goodie from early in the week.
Yeah, that might be the best that he's had.
Bill Belichick? Oh,
best
so far.
Best and worst, like depending on how you really want to look at it. It's so over the top. It's so comical, ignoring the guys that are hurt and maybe the three most important guys to your good run defense from a year ago and just laying it on thick about how Gonzalez and Marcus Jones helped the run defense, like just naming all these guys that he either drafted or signed or whatever. But also, I think it just proves the point that whether you're an old school coach, a young coach, a former player, they all like perked up when Mayo called the team soft.
Yeah.
And specifically said, we're a soft team. The next day on Greg's show, he said, play.
Yeah.
So he tried to walk it back a little bit without completely like going against what he said. But that's one where Belichick's like, oh my God. Like he wasn't going to let that opportunity slip. And he went a little overboard. Where he's talking about how badly he feels for these guys. I don't think he feels bad for anybody or anything.
No, I don't. No, but that was calculated. He's trying to undermine the locker room, and it's working.
Pretty hilarious.
Like, if anything, after getting called out for being soft on Sunday, and even with Mayo attempting to walk it back on Greg's show, it's gotten worse in that room, and I think Bill aided that. I think Bill's saying, I hurt for those guys. Effectively, Mayo doesn't know what he's talking about.
Even Bill wouldn't say that.
Right.
It's like, well, I don't know. I mean, publicly, he wouldn't.
He's undermined.
Privately, he'd probably say a lot worse.
He's undermined it. Nick, were you the one telling me that on – and I was watching the Celtics and Bruins last night. I watched very little of Thursday Night Football. Were you the one telling me that Whitworth and Sherman were going off on this?
Yeah, Whitworth and Sherman.
So how did it – it's a big enough story where it came up on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah,
Mayo
Chris
calling
Thompson
the team soft.
It was after. It was like, hey, DeAndre Hopkins got traded. And then, oh, by the way, Mayo called the team soft.
Pre-game or post-game?
Post-game.
So after their game, a good game last night, by the way.
Yeah.
After their game, they felt like this is a big enough story being called soft.
It's usually bad teams, I say for the most part, only get discussed on some of these shows if they change the quarterback or fire their coach.
If they're a mess. Yeah.
But like, even if they're just a mess and playing bad, it's like, skip over them. You're like, it's not a game we're going to highlight. But if they change the quarterback, big story. If they change maybe like a coordinator, or obviously they fire their coach, big story. Maybe you trade away a player. Or like, call out your team in the manner that Mayo did. It becomes like a national story.
Well, and Bill, that was part of Bill's, maybe it was a message to the locker room too to undermine Mayo, but it was also like, I'm going to amplify this.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just Mayo calling his team soft and everybody moves up like, no.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make it a bigger story. So it wasn't just for the locker room, but it was also for the media. I'm going to fan these flames and make it a bigger story. I have not heard this yet, but this is Whitworth on Thursday Night Football. I didn't realize we have this. Let's hear it.
I come from a place just for me. I've always treated it this way. I've always taught young guys that ask me this question. At the end of the day, we're men for anything else. And I'm always going to treat you with the respect that I would want to be treated as another man. And I don't care what people say about, well, maybe that's your philosophy. Maybe the guys know you said that in silent. I don't care about that. In the public, to reporters, you don't need to address me. You want to address me? Address me to my face. Treat me like a grown man. You think I'm soft? Tell me I'm soft. And I used to tell, too, because Mike Zimmer was a fired up coach. He used to get out of hand. I'd say, Zim, that's great. I appreciate your comments. But you better be able to prove me I'm soft when you tell me I'm soft in my face as
Talk
well.
To him, Whit.
So to me, I just don't like it. I don't think it's a place that it's not coaching. It's not leading to me. That's not challenging. Challenging is one-on-one. Let me show you how I think you could be better. Let me show you how you could step up and be a better football player for us. It's not telling some media member what you think about me as a person.
Okay. So a couple of things. Number one, that's friend of the show, Andrew Whitworth.
Damn right.
We had him on after week one.
Uh-huh.
Back when the before times, when things were good for the Patriots.
When men were men.
Yeah. But that, doesn't that catch your ear? Like, treat me like a man?
Yes.
Wasn't that Mayo's whole thing? I'm going to treat them like men?
Yeah.
I'm going to treat them like men. They're men. Yeah. They can make their own decisions. If they want to post on social media, go for it. Yeah, they can say whatever they want. They're men. I'm going to treat them like men.
But keep it in-house.
And Andrew,
say what you want. Freedom of speech. Yeah, he dropped the freedom of speech the other day.
Yep.
But also keep it in-house.
But how about that? Andrew Whitworth is basically using Mayo's words against him. I don't think intentionally. But Mayo said, I'm going to treat them like men. And Whitworth is like, treat me like you're not treating me like a man. Treat me like a man. Say it to my face.
Well, it's funny because Bill, in practice and in meetings, you know, all these stories that we've heard, you know, Wiggy tells him, Ty Law tells him, the Dynasty told, like, all these stories about, like, the Foxborough High kid.
Yeah.
Like,
but that was all ripping into Brady.
All in house.
Yep.
He's like, they would do like the Monday morning meeting, and then he would have all the lowlights. And I'm sure he would rip guys way worse than what Mayo said. But he would never go to the podium and be like, how about that block so-and-so missed? Or like, what a mess we are. Even the thing that everybody still plays from 09, where he's telling Brady, like, I can't get through to this team. That eventually was made public because it was like an NFL Films thing. But that was first of all, Bill talking to a player about
it. Bill talking to Brady.
Talking to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It wasn't
Well, your guy Breeze was lighting him up.
He had a good game that game.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Bill following a game. And how mad, especially anytime they would lose to the Jets or anything, like how mad Bill was. But he would never just bury guys on his team. And so he took an opportunity when Mayo did, and now everyone's pouncing on that. That's why I think maybe one of the real things to watch is, I think this is going to change Mayo press conference-wise. This more than anything else.
Oh, this is a good point. I forgot you brought this up. And
the burn some cash thing was fun while it lasted.
It sounds like today he did, by the way.
He's done. Is done.
Meaning?
Talking the way that he talks.
Oh, got it. Not done in New England.
No, I think he's going to be here next year. I just think that he is now going to be so careful with what he says, it's going to be boring to tears.
I didn't hear it. Maybe this is worth playing later on in the show, and forgive me, Nick, for not thinking of this until Rich just said it. I guess he gave like a long Belichick-style soliloquy about the Jets to start his press conference.
Classic
today.
Bill.
You sat in those, Keith, right? The Wednesday.
That's when they tell you about Johnny Hecker, the weapon punter.
Yes.
Like, you're
Bill didn't typically do it on Fridays. I've sat in these. I mean, it was years ago, but on Wednesday, Bill would he'd start his press conference by being like, all right, this week we got the Jets.
Name every player.
Here's their head coach. Here's their GM. Here's who owns the team. Here's a history on the team. Here's their offensive personnel. Here's their defensive personnel. Definitely the special teams personnel. Yeah. And he would go through the whole thing. I guess Mayo did some of that today, which is an indication of exactly what you're talking about.
I think it's going to be a lot of that. I think he's going to be real careful with what he says. The other stuff, even though he's walked back a lot of things, none of it's really come to the level of this, right? Like, all the other things that he has said, it's been like, all right, let me clear that up. And you're like, all right, whatever. This one, I think, has gotten the players' attention in a bad way much, much more.
Okay, so we'll get more into that. It's Patriots Friday, Patriots and Jets. Can they even keep it close? We can ask that question and more to a few of our guests from the Patriots. We're going to be joined by Mike Onwenu. We're going to be joined by Alex Van Pelt. Don't forget, grab bag, Keith's keys. It all comes your way next hour.